Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PCs preparation. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has just inaugurated a brand new international airport in the Delhi NCR region, and this is not just any airport, it's a greenfield project that promises to be India's first net-zero emissions airport. First, let's understand what makes this airport so special. The Noida International Airport, located in Jewar, Gautam Buddha Nagar, Uttar Pradesh, is a public-private partnership project developed by Yamuna International Airport Private Limited, a wholly-owned subsidiary of Zurich Airport International AG, in collaboration with the Government of Uttar Pradesh and the Government of India. The 40-year concession agreement commenced on 1st October 2021, and the airport is designed to serve Western Uttar Pradesh, parts of Rajasthan, Haryana, and Madhya Pradesh, a catchment area of over 200 million people. What makes this significant is that the airport is located along the Yamuna Expressway in Jewar Tehsil, and it will generate significant employment and boost real estate, logistics, and tourism in the region. The project is expected to have a major economic impact. And it's interesting to note that the airport will be operated by Yamuna International Airport PVT Ltd, a subsidiary of Zurich Airport International AG, under a public-private partnership model. This model involves the private concessionaire building, operating, and maintaining the airport, while the government provides land and regulatory clearances. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the airport. The airport has a capacity of 12 million passengers per annum, which can be scaled up to 70 million passengers per annum by 2050. The runway is 3,900 meters long, equipped with instrument landing system, ILS, for all-weather operations. The airport is operated by Yamuna International Airport PVT Ltd, a subsidiary of Zurich Airport International AG, under a public-private partnership model. The concession period is 40 years, from 1st October 2021, and the airport is designed to be a net-zero emissions airport, making it the first large-scale infrastructure project in India to use limestone calcined clay cement, LC3, a breakthrough lower-carbon construction material. Remember this number, the airport's Phase 1 cost is 11,200 crore rupees, and it has been inaugurated by Prime Minister Narendra Modi on 28th March 2026. The airport's IATA code is DXN and its ICAO code is VIDAN. The launch carriers for the airport are IndiGo, Akash Air, and Air India Express. Now, let's turn to the CAF Bill 2026, which has been introduced in the Rajya Sabha. The Central Armed Police Forces, General Administration, Bill 2026, is a significant piece of legislation that aims to replace the existing patchwork of separate rules, executive instructions, and ad hoc practices with a single statutory framework covering recruitment, promotions, cadre review, service conditions, disciplinary procedures, welfare measures, postings, transfers, and grievance redressal for the five major Central Armed Police Forces, CRPF, BSF, CISF, ITBP, and SSB. What makes this significant is that the bill has been introduced amid strong opposition from India Bloc MPs, who argue that the bill undermines a Supreme Court judgment. The Supreme Court had delivered a landmark verdict granting Organized Group A Service, OGAS, status to CAF cadre officers and directed the government to progressively reduce IPS deputation in the forces up to the rank of Inspector General within 2 years. Critics argue that the CAF Bill 2026 seeks to achieve through legislation what the government was denied by the court, the preservation of IPS dominance in senior CAF ranks. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the CAF Bill 2026. The bill was introduced in the Rajya Sabha on 25th March 2026 by Minister of State for Home Affairs Nityanand Rai. The bill covers the five major Central Armed Police Forces, CRPF, BSF, CISF, ITBP, and SSB, which together comprise over 10 lakh personnel. The bill aims to provide a single statutory framework for the administration of these forces, replacing the existing patchwork of separate rules and executive instructions. Moving on to the topic of fuel prices, Nayara Energy, India's largest private fuel retailer, has raised petrol prices by up to 5.30 rupees per litre and diesel by 3 rupees per litre, becoming the first company to hike prices after crude oil surged past $106 per barrel due to the ongoing West Asia crisis. The price hike is significant, and it's worth noting that state-run oil marketing companies, Indian Oil Corporation, Bharat Petroleum, and Hindustan Petroleum, have not yet matched the hike. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the fuel price hike. The price increase varies by state due to differing VAT rates, with petrol increasing by up to 5.30 rupees per litre in some states. Nayara Energy's retail outlets number over 6,600, making it the largest private fuel network in India. The company's Vadinar refinery has a capacity of 20 MMTPA, or 405,000 barrels per day. Nayara Energy is owned by Rosneft, which holds a 49.13% stake, and Trafigura UCP Consortium. Next, let's talk about the Matsya 6000, India's first crewed deep-sea submersible, which has completed wet tests in the Bay of Bengal. The submersible is designed to explore the central Indian Ocean for polymetallic nodules and study deep-sea biodiversity. The test details are fascinating. The submersible was lowered to a depth of 10 meters in the Bay of Bengal and underwent 8 submersions, half of them crewed, with a 3-member crew occupying the 2.1-meter diameter titanium alloy sphere for up to 3 hours per dive. What makes this significant is that the Matsya 6000 is a flagship program under the Deep Ocean Mission, which is a 5-year mission with a budget of 4,077 crore rupees. The mission aims to explore the deep ocean and unlock its secrets, and the Matsya 6000 is a critical component of this mission. The submersible is designed to dive to a depth of 6,000 meters, and it has a crew of 3 persons. The hull is made of T6L4V titanium alloy, with a diameter of 2.1 meters and a thickness of 80 millimeters. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the Matsya 6000. The submersible has an operational endurance of 12 hours and an emergency endurance of 96 hours. It is developed by the National Institute of Ocean Technology, Chennai, under the Ministry of Earth Sciences. The mission is expected to have significant implications for India's deep-sea exploration and mining capabilities. Moving on to the topic of the Madhvapur Gher Fair, which has begun in Gujarat, celebrating the Rukmini Krishna legend. The fair is a significant cultural event that brings together cultural performers from Gujarat and 9 northeastern states under the Ek Bharat Shrestha Bharat initiative. The fair is held annually, starting on the day of Ram Navami at Madhvapur Gher, a coastal village near Porbandar in Gujarat. What makes this significant is that the fair celebrates the cultural link between Gujarat and the Northeast, particularly the Idu Mishmi tribe of Arunachal Pradesh, which traces its ancestry to King Bhishmaka and through him to Rukmini. The fair features folk dance, folk theatre, and music performances, showcasing the rich cultural heritage of the region. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the Madhvapur Gher Fair. The fair is a 5-day event, starting on 27th March 2026, and it features over 1,600 artists from 9 states. The fair is organized under the Ek Bharat Shrestha Bharat initiative, which aims to promote interstate cultural exchange and national integration. The fair celebrates the marriage of Lord Krishna and Rukmini, and it is a significant event in the cultural calendar of Gujarat and the Northeast. Next, let's talk about the India growth data controversy, which has sparked a debate over the revision of the GDP base year. The Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation has released a new GDP series, shifting the base year from 2011 to 12 to 2020 to 23, which has revised real GDP growth upward to 7.6% for FY 2025-26 but simultaneously reduced nominal GDP by approximately 3.3%. The controversy surrounds the methodology used to calculate the GDP, with some critics arguing that the new series overestimates growth. What makes this significant is that the GDP base year revision is a routine statistical exercise undertaken approximately every 10 years to reflect structural changes in the economy. However, the controversy highlights the tension between statistical methodology and political economy. Growth figures influence sovereign credit ratings, foreign investment flows, and electoral narratives. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the GDP base year revision. The new base year is 2020-23, and the real GDP growth for FY 2025-26 is 7.6%. The nominal GDP for FY 2025-26 is 345.47 lakh rupees crore, down from 357 lakh rupees crore. The fiscal deficit impact is significant, with the deficit rising from 4.36% to 4.51% of GDP. Moving on to the topic of the underground water reservoir, which has been discovered 700 kilometers below the Earth's surface, holding water equivalent to roughly 3 times the volume of all surface oceans. The discovery was made by geophysicist Stephen Jacobson of Northwestern University and seismologist Brandon Schmant of the University of New Mexico, who used seismic data to detect the presence of water in the mineral ringwoodite. What makes this significant is that the discovery challenges the prevailing cometary delivery theory that Earth's water was brought by comets during the late heavy bombardment period. Instead, it suggests that water may have gradually seeped out from the Earth's interior over millions of years. The discovery has profound implications for understanding the global water cycle and the origin of Earth's oceans. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the underground water reservoir. The reservoir is located at a depth of 525 to 660 kilometers in the mantle transition zone. The water is held in the mineral ringwoodite, which has a special crystal structure that attracts hydrogen and traps water within its molecular framework. The discovery was made using seismic data from over 2,000 seismographs and 500-plus earthquakes. Next, let's talk about the Earth-R-2026, which is being observed on 28 March 2026, marking the 20th anniversary of this global environmental movement organized by the World Wildlife Fund, WWF. The event aims to raise awareness about climate change and promote sustainable living practices. The theme for this year's event is Give an Hour for Earth, and it encourages individuals to switch off their lights for 1 hour to demonstrate their commitment to the cause. What makes this significant is that Earth Hour is a global movement that has been observed in over 190 countries, with millions of people participating in the event. The event has become a symbol of the global fight against climate change, and it highlights the need for collective action to protect the planet. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about Earth Hour. The event was first observed on 31st March 2007 in Sydney, Australia, and it has since become an annual event. The event is organized by the World Wildlife Fund, WWF, and it aims to promote sustainable living practices and reduce carbon emissions. The event has been observed in over 190 countries, and it has become a significant global movement. Moving on to the topic of Akash Air, which has signed a strategic partnership with Noida International Airport to set up its first-ever maintenance, repair and overhaul, MRO, facility at the Jewar Airport. The facility will conduct line and base maintenance, schedule checks, and a range of aircraft maintenance activities for Akash Air's growing Boeing 737 MAX fleet. What makes this significant is that the MRO facility will be a major boost to India's aviation infrastructure, and it will help to reduce the country's dependence on foreign MRO facilities. The facility will be operated by Akash Air, and it will be located in a 40-acre zone earmarked for MRO activities at the Noida International Airport. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the Akash Air MRO facility. The facility will be located in a 40-acre zone at the Noida International Airport, and it will conduct line and base maintenance, schedule checks, and a range of aircraft maintenance activities. The facility will be operated by Akash Air, and it will be a major boost to India's aviation infrastructure. Next, let's talk about the airline's levy fuel surcharges, which have been imposed by all three major Indian carriers, Air India, IndiGo, and Akash Air, due to the surge in aviation turbine fuel, ATF, prices. The ATF price hike is a result of the ongoing conflict in West Asia and the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which has pushed Brent crude above $106 per barrel. What makes this significant is that the fuel surcharge will have a significant impact on air travel affordability, as ATF constitutes 40-50% of an airline's operating costs in India. The surcharge will be imposed on both domestic and international flights, and it will vary depending on the route and the airline. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the airline's levy fuel surcharges. The ATF price in Delhi has risen to 96,638 rupees per kiloliter, an increase of 5,215 rupees per kiloliter. The IATA Jet Fuel Monitor has indicated an over 85% increase in jet fuel prices for the region in March 2026. The fuel surcharge will be imposed by all three major Indian carriers, Air India, IndiGo, and Akash Air, and it will vary depending on the route and the airline. Moving on to the topic of the Department of Justice, which is organizing the National Consultation 2026 under the Telelo Initiative on 29 March 2026 at Vigyan Bhavan, New Delhi. The consultation aims to promote access to justice and provide free pre-litigation legal advice to citizens, especially in rural areas, via video conferencing at Common Service Centers, CSCs. What makes this significant is that the Telelaw Initiative is a flagship program under the Disha scheme of the Department of Justice, which aims to provide free legal aid to eligible persons. The initiative has been successful in providing legal advice to over 1.03 crore beneficiaries, and it has been scaled up to cover 2.5 lakh gram panchayats, 785 districts, and 36 states UTs. Now, let's look at some key facts and figures about the Telelaw Initiative. The initiative was launched in 2017 as a pilot and was scaled up under the Disha scheme in 2021. The initiative provides free pre-litigation legal advice to citizens, especially in rural areas, via video conferencing at Common Service Centers, CSCs. The initiative has been successful in providing legal advice to over 1.03 crore beneficiaries, and it has been scaled up to cover 2.5 lakh gram panchayats, 785 districts, and 36 states UTs. Finally, let's talk about the Combined Facts Corner, which provides a comprehensive overview of the key facts and figures from the various topics discussed. The Facts Corner covers a range of topics, including infrastructure and airports, aviation MRO, security and defense, energy, oil and aviation fuel, science and technology, culture and heritage, economy and statistics, earth science, environment, and access to justice. What makes this significant is that the Combined Facts Corner provides a one-stop solution for students to revise and recall the key facts and figures from the various topics discussed. The Facts Corner is a comprehensive resource that covers a range of topics, and it is an essential tool for students preparing for the UPSC and State PCs exams. In conclusion, the topics discussed today are significant and relevant to the UPSC and State PCs exams. the Noida International Airport, the CAF Bill 2026, the fuel price hike, the Matsya 6000, the Madhvapur Gher Fair, the GDP base year revision, the underground water reservoir, Earth R, the Akash Air MRO facility, the airlines levy fuel surcharges, and the Telelaw initiative are all important topics that require attention and analysis. As we move forward, it's essential to stay updated on these topics and be prepared to analyze and discuss them in the context of the UPSC and state PC's exams.